whole time. My name is Montego. With me is my adorable co-host, Miss Tiffobot. What's going on with you this week, Tiff?
You know what? Just excited to be here. As always, surprised by the start of the show because it happened so suddenly.
Happened so suddenly and so professionally, and we keep it moving.
I have to sit up, you know, because I'm usually slumped forward, looking like a little troll. So it's always a good time. Yeah. How are you? How are you?
I'm all right, man. This is coming out probably a day late because your boy, I got sick yesterday, man. I was like, I must get to the podcast. I have to get to the podcast. And my body was like, get your ass in that bed. So I was like, kind of like, hi, like a dog or something, man. God damn. Yeah, I was pretty goddamn sick yesterday. So, man, we do have a great show for you, man. I'm pretty excited about this show because there's so many exciting things are going, man. So we got a big DC story brewing. They done shook shit up and did some things, and it's very fascinating what I think Warner Brothers did. You know, rich people and throwing away money, Tiff. It's amazing.
Yeah, they did. I can't wait to talk about that one particularly. Yes.
Yes. We also have. We're back to true Hollywood drama, man. You know, I love it, man. Anytime these effers start having tension tantrums and, you know, acting a fool, whether it's justified or not, we got a story with John Leguizamo and an up-and-coming project starring James Franco and some comments that was made and some shots fired.
You're such a gossip, Montego. You're just like, listen to what I heard. Because and it's so funny because you don't come off that way, but you really thrive on these bizarre circumstances.
No, Tiff, you have to understand. It's all because they're rich. I hate rich bastards. And so when I see them having turmoil and stuff, I'm like, ha-ha, you rich bastard. You
know? That's because you want to be a rich bastard.
Oh, I would love to be a rich bastard. Then I'll be like, you peasant, talk about us all that you want. Here, take some money. You
know? Yeah, I think I would be maybe either really nice rich person, like I'd have to, you know what I mean? Or I'd have to become a recluse.
You're sitting out there looking out your window like, They want my money.
No, I just mean because, like, I feel like I would want to be generous.
Yeah.
And sometimes, even, I'm not saying people shouldn't be generous, but sometimes if you're, like, a person who was never wealthy before, you don't have, like, that kind of understanding of, like, how to keep it so that you don't go broke.
Yeah, because all those efforts who win the lottery go broke, but I got a plan, Tiff. You know, if I ever hit it big, so big that I can just do my thing. I think I've said it before. I would just cue that Incredible Hulk music, you know, and I would just grab a duffel bag with some drawers and some money in it and just walk the earth just helping people, you know, just showing up in villages and be like, we will build a well and the people will flourish, you know, and then I would just disappear into the darkness, you know, like Homer Simpson, that meme of Homer Simpson, like, into the bushes.
Oh, he's in the ghost in the bush? Yeah. I think that'd be nice. I could see you doing that.
Oh, yeah.
I could see you becoming also just an evil mastermind.
One or the other. This depends.
Yeah, I'm either. It's God or the devil. There's right. No in between.
Yeah, it depends on which. If anything triggers me, you know, then it'd be like.
Yeah, like, I built you this well and I'll destroy it.
The people will suffer because of your insolence, you fool. Ha! Oh, shit. So, we're going to be talking about that. Also, we got our first pick from Indiana Jones. So, we're going to talk about that.
I'm sorry. I forgot. Okay, it's fine. I just, you guys.
So, we got a pick from on the set. So, we're going to talk about that. That'll be just really brief.
He's working.
Well, wait a minute. The man has never stopped working. That's for sure.
Yeah. I know. I'm just saying, you guys. He's still working.
Yeah, he's still working. Yeah.
All right.
Also, man, and our second act, man, we got trivia back on the show, man. So since our main topic involves Netflix, we're doing Netflix original Facts on Patrol. Straight up questions, mano e mano. No, well, mano e, not me and you. Me against you. Versus.
Yeah.
So... then after that, man, we're going to talk about the gray man, as all our YouTubers can see, man, that they're, you know, who was that?
All our YouTubers.
Yeah. All of them. All six or seven. What? Right.
Hey, you know what? I bet one of those people is probably somebody that you actually know, and one of those people is probably like somebody I actually know, and the other ones are accidents.
Right, there you go. Whoops, what the hell is this?
Like, how the fuck did I get here? No.
So, you know, we're going to talk about, and speaking of that, hey, go over there and subscribe to us on YouTube. Tell your friends about me.
This is an agony to me, in all honesty.
Why is it an agony? What are you talking about?
I don't want people looking at me like that.
Oh, shoot. See, that vibe just emanates, and that's why we don't.
Fuck off. That, well, you know what? If I have that power, fuck it. Yeah, I'm using it. Look at me. Don't look at me. I say when.
Okay.
That's not true. It's all over the fucking internet.
That's right. And the longer they stay on there, the more views they get. Ain't that something? So that'll be it for the show. We're going to kick it off. We're going to keep going. Are you ready to roll? Damn. Let's go. All right, man. We're back. It's social media time. Tiff, tell the people where they can get all our goodies, which is Fans on Patrol.
So head to fansofpatrol.com. That's our main hub, where you can email us at fans@fansofpatrol.com, or you can visit us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at fansofpatrol. Subscribe to our YouTube, check out our Patreon if you wouldn't mind, visit us on TikTok where Montego posts some stuff at fansofpatrol0 the number, and listen on your favorite listening platform.
Indeed, man. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, I must have turned my stuff down. Sorry about that. So, man, it is time for the news, man, and I'm a little excited about the news. So, first of all, man, we're going to start with Warner Brothers, man, who lost their goddamn mind this week. Okay, so, Tiff, I sent you this story about, you know, Warner Brothers shelves Batgirl with no plans, you know, for rebooting that in the future.
Right.
So, if you guys remember, this Batgirl stars Leslie Grace, black gal, Latino gal, one or the other. We're all the same. And which was historical. You know, well, not really, because Eartha Kitt was a black bat woman back in the day, but no Batgirl. So we were highly anticipating, and her race, I think, had little to do with any of the hype that was going on with this movie. People, I think, had, you know, gotten over certain things, and everybody was looking forward to seeing what they were going to do. People were actually getting excited because, you know, I think filming was getting close to wrapping, and, you know, it was like, let's see what they're going to do. Now, this thing was supposed to come out on HBO Max exclusively, which, you know, to me was like, okay, this is our larger universe, but, you know, she's not going to the theater. So I didn't care whether if it went to the theater or not, because I'm not so sure just how strong a Batgirl would, you know, would do in the theater. You just don't know. So Warner Brothers was like, hey, pull that shit back. We're not going that direction. It's canceled. See y'all later. Turn off the lights. And it was like a hush of silence over the internet before the eruption. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's actually more to this story because I had did some off-books research there.
Oh, so I did some extra research. That's pretty rude.
I did some off-books research. So they didn't just cancel this, Tiff. They canceled the Wonder Twins. They canceled Supergirl with, you know, that was a Latino woman was, you know, cast as the cinematic Supergirl. Supposed to go to the theaters. So they said they were changing directions. They got a new board and all this stuff. And some things was going to work, some things wasn't. And what they wanted to do was change their universe to like Marvel. Instead of just jumping head deep like they did with all their heroes, they wanted to take their time and start a new universe. And that puts, you know, the Henry Cavill, Jason Momoa, Ben Affleck, all those people, you know, it's don't know. It appears that they might want to use those three actors and maybe Gal Gadot. Wonder Woman, maybe, but nobody said anything about that. So, what the hell is that?
I'm sorry. I was looking at the article, and apparently an ad started playing or something.
I'm not surprised.
So, like, I was trying to close it off, and it wouldn't stop.
I'm not surprised. I know. So,
this sounds fucking exhausting, but it was really weird because it's... I don't know how things work in the, like, that side of Hollywood. I mean, I don't really know how any of Hollywood works, but...
Yeah.
They had said that they were going to scrap projects
yeah.
that didn't have
yeah.
An initial budget of $90 million from starting. So one, that's a really weird stipulation.
That's because a huge budget.
because it's a huge budget, but one, it means that like even if at the time that your movie has been made or whatever, you surpassed the budget, like maybe it was supposed to cost 70 and now it costs 100 because it just went over budget, they would still scrap it, which is also strange because they have, I guess it's like maybe to see, because like I guess the only way that would make sense to me would be like they need to make a certain amount of money in their minds, right, to make it a success. And they figured with that, the promotion materials on that movie, right, they were trying to cut their losses, and that's the lowest they would go, right?
Right.
Would be like the 90 million mark.
Right. Okay. So, right, because they figure they can afford that, you know. But
right.
Anything higher than that is crazy. So what they said, I think the CEO said, it was came in, they had, what do you call those, investor call.
Yeah.
You know, all audio. And I got a chance to listen to this. So, you know, Discovery, believe that. You remember Discovery bought Warner Brothers and bought, you know, yeah, you know, other studios. And they're going to take...
Like the UFO channel?
Yeah, all that. Yeah, they make more money than them. They gobbled
King,
them up.
King Tut's UFO?
They make all the money.
Got it.
So they're going to scrap HBO Max and...
what?
They're going to make...
I mean, I heard a little bit about that, but is that true?
Yeah, they're going to make a combined channel that's different, and so it would have different things. So they are actually now going to have a Warner Brothers Studios, an actual, like a Marvel Studios.
Do you ever feel like the time that we're living in, they're feeding us some kind of horrible soup, and every so often they're like... No, a little, no, this.
Yeah, yeah.
No, this. It's like, you're not going to find some kind of magic ingredient that's going to make your dumbass streaming service better. Here's what you need to do. Make the menus nice and clean and easy to use.
Well, I think that's
the point. And put decent content on it.
I think that's the point, because they're not going to do any direct releases anymore, which we knew that this was a fleeting thing. It was all because of the pandemic. But, you know, for them to have, what do you call that? Actual DC Studios, I think, is the thing they should have did from beginning, you know, instead of just saying this is part of Warner Brothers Studios and these Warner Brothers execs would make these decisions. They decided to just say, hey, we're gonna make a studio, and that studio will be in charge of all that. And they have, like, I think four studios they're gonna have now for Warner Brothers, this, that, and the other. And so this is just happened to be a casualty of, you know, this bigger plan. But they don't plan on ever finishing or releasing this Batgirl movie. And it's like, now I kind of want to see it.
It's weird because they said it was almost done. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't understand movies, so I don't know. I mean, like, I hate to say that because it sounds like I'm saying I don't understand movies at all. But I mean, like, I don't understand what it means to have to make that decision, right? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's this far, but you still have to stop.
Yeah. Now, because... You know, with marketing costs, they normally double the amount that they paid for the movie for marketing. So they still may look at it as saving 2/3 of what they were going to spend for
right.
this movie.
Right. So that's the kind of stuff. Like,
however,
I don't want to be like this is ludicrous, because I don't know if it yeah. actually, like, the amounts are ludicrous.
But
I don't know.
But let me say this: because it was going to be a direct to streaming, they never spend that much money on direct streaming outfits right. that they do. On, like, going to the theater type of outlet. So they weren't going to spend 2/3 of their budget to market this movie. You know, there'd been a couple of things before it came out, and then it would have been mm-hmm. on air, and a week later everybody would forgot about it, because that's what happens with direct-to-streaming stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Stuff comes out, and you're like, what was that, you know? And, yeah, that was good. And I guess, you know, it's all a mindset. You put on your shoes, get your coat, go buy you some popcorn, drive to the theater and shit. You know, and you know, you put more effort into it, so I think it might stick in your psyche a little longer, because it's more of an experience than it is just going and grabbing the remote and turning that on, and then voila. So I'm interested.
And then voila, that's the whole the tagline of streaming.
Voila.
And voila.
Hey, that'd be a good ass streaming name. Voila.
Actually, Montego's having all sorts of good ideas.
Yes, indeed. So I don't know, Tiff. I mean, other than, you know, this thoughts.
I think it is, yeah, people have said that it's weird that they're a bunch of minority focused and led things. That is weird.
That is weird. That is weird.
Mostly it's, and I agree with that, but it's bizarre that, to me, I know that that's why I keep harping on the money, and I know that I think I'm just getting old because to me, I'm like, well, it's almost fucking done. Just why wouldn't you just finish?
Hey, look, and you can
but
say,
I get it. That's why I'm saying I don't really understand.
I agree with you on that too, and you can say, well, this is the last of the shit of that shit. from now on, we're gonna do this.
Like 10, like maybe even less than 10. I'd probably say like 3 years from now, they're gonna be like, we're doing a whole new Batgirl movie. We're scrapping all that stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, well, then were you really concerned about the money?
I think money grows on trees of these people, you know, and now that they now they have a new, like, you know, the juggernaut, which is Discovery. Jesus, I mean, that just sounds so
weird. I didn't realize that was such a fucking big deal.
I didn't know Discovery had enough money to be buying other shit like Warner Brothers, AT&T.
Did you know that President Lincoln was a Sasquatch?
I did not know
that's
that.
That's the kind of shit that they put on that fucking channel.
Right.
It's a bunch of weird shit.
Yeah, right. You get tired of it after a while.
Well, I've never really watched. Here's the thing. I can't make fun of it because I never really was anybody who was watching it before or after. As far as I'm concerned, the show title doesn't exist to me.
I used to watch Discovery when it was on cable, and I only had cable, you know. But since this digital revolution has happened, I haven't seen it or even gave a shit.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was still a thing.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, I guess maybe I watched like cute animal videos on there when I was in high school or something. I don't know.
Watching the cheetah stalk his prey.
No. I mean, they used to have like back when the internet was new and maybe less scary and also somehow more scary.
No. It was always scary. It was always a big cuddly killy that once it stands up, it's like, your ass is mine. You know, it was always that. That's
when YouTube was first kind of getting big, obviously the first thing that like people got into was like cute animal videos.
Yeah, I guess.
So, because what I'm saying then is that I think now that you've said that about Discovery, I'm like 100% sure there was like some kind of show that they had just basically taken that concept and made like a YouTube before YouTube was really a thing on TV.
Yeah. I remember when YouTube got purchased by Google, it was two 19-year-old kids that invented it. Two 19-year-old kids, and they got $1 billion, which is now probably terrible. Consider what it might be worth now. They probably still got the shaft, you know.
Well, I just think about shit like that all the time where just like one person, like, okay, so there's like some stuff on YouTube where people get famous.
Yeah.
And get, you know, like, and really rich from just being on YouTube. And it's just like fucking videos that are people falling down and shit.
Yeah. Right.
Which, I mean, yeah, funny, sure. But I can upload a video onto YouTube.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, I'm not saying that it's fine, have money, but I was just like, Jesus, fuck, it's that easy? Why wasn't I out here doing dumbass shit?
Well, as far as...
I got a fucking job like a dumbass.
Yeah. As far as the Batgirl, she's gone. And I guess the director was... not the director, the president of Warner Brothers was like, I'm going to quit, you know, and so... But he didn't quit, you know, so... Well, anyway. So...
I think we both just told two really kind of bizarre, stupid stories, and then we were like, oh, we're boring.
Oh, shit.
I realized I was boring halfway through that last part.
Oh, well, I'm still
talking about Supergirl. That's when the realization dawned on me. I was like, oh, here it comes. You're a boring piece of shit.
I'm still talking about Supergirl, but let's change gears right quick, because I saw this story this morning, and I found it fascinating. So
your favorite true Hollywood true stories. No, drama. Hollywood drama. Story.
All right, drama, right. So,
because a true Hollywood source is a thing.
So, John Leguizamo, I believe yesterday, like, had a fit. He had a fit. I ain't going to say a temper tantrum. I'm going to say a fit. Because James Franco got cast in his up-and-coming film as Fidel Castro, the Cuban dictator. And he put out a statement and some other things saying, I can't believe this shit is still going on. And I was like, Yeah, you're right. God damn it, right? You know, like I'm very surprised this shit is still going on. First of all, that dude ain't had a job in years from all his like, you know, escapades.
Yeah, that was also surprising that like that he's coming back. There's this controversy, but he's getting defended.
He's being defended, but I got my thoughts about that one. Anyway, so then another article came out said John Leguizamo was clarifying that he had no problems with Jane Franco, but appropriating our stories, none of that. So then the director or producer of the name of the up and coming project is what, Alina of Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And the producer started defending the casting, who is Latino. So we back to whitewashing, y'all. So,
but it's just crazy because it's just like, and it's bare bones. So we see John Leguizamo. He says, I have nothing against James Franco.
Right.
It's weird that he even has to say that because he's not criticizing anything about James Franco. He is saying roles for Latino people should be given to them.
Yeah. And what I found was really like, what I really like what he did was that he laid out almost like in recent times and in non-recent times, all the actors who have played Latino characters and got paid. Like I'm going to go read some of this list here. So he said, Anthony Hopkins as Zorro. I thought that was ridiculous. He was the original Zorro. even back in the day when it happened, I was like, why the hell would they got Hannibal Lecter being Zorro? What the hell? You know, Natalie Wood in the West Side Story, Ben Affleck as Tony Mendez in Argo, which was a fantastic movie, but it did bother me when I was watching. I was like, his name is Mendez, he's supposed to be. And then
some people.
No, this guy looks heavy Latino, just like, yeah, heavy Latino. And so it was like the original guy.
Oh, he's a real person. I forgot.
He's a real person. Right.
Okay.
Will Ferrell as Armando in La Casa del Mi Padre. Eli. We said Eli Wallach. I don't know who that is. Oh, The Good, Bad, and Ugly. Old movie. Clint Eastwood movie. Hank. Who is this? Oh, the guy that plays on the, what's his name? Hank Azaria.
Yeah,
he was in The Birdcage. The role was hilarious, but he was playing a Latino and he's not. Marlon Brando. he played Emilio Zapata back in 1952. Well, that was common practice back then, right? Everybody just put on black, brown, whatever, any kind of silly color. Doesn't excuse it. Catherine Zeta-Jones was also in Zorro, who was a Greek lady who was playing a Latino. Johnny Depp. Cliff Curtis, Madonna, Evita.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Catherine Zeta-Jones wasn't.
No, she's Greek, man. She's not.
Latino. I did not know that.
Ain't that something?
Wait, I don't know if that's, is that true?
That is true.
Oh, you know who I'm thinking of?
Who is that?
Selma Hayek.
Very Latino and fine.
Yeah,
and
I just was like.
My girl, Amara Asante. Al Pacino in like several roles.
There's a lot of people on this list. Sure, you want to read all?
Yep, I do. I'm gonna finish it real quick. John, that's why I stopped saying what movies they were in. John Turturro, Jack Black, Ingrid Bergman, Robert Downey Jr., Jared Leto, and that's good enough. But a lot of that shit was like in recent times too. Like back in the day, you like everybody was stone cold racist or didn't give a shit about being racist and didn't even think it was racist, but. Now these days, it's in your face, but you still do it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He just said, Latino roles or Latinx roles should be for those people, right? Right. That's all he said. If James Franco is indeed of that heritage, then it's fine that he is.
Well,
there would be no need to defend him.
here's the goofy thing. So the
but maybe he is. I don't know.
So the producer
is he?
Let me tell you what the producer said. She was like, well, James Franco's grandma's sister's cousin's brother has Portugal descent. I was like, get out of here, man. I mean, she didn't actually say those words, but she basically said
right,
those
like,
words.
Right, like, I don't want to discredit anyone's, like, heritage. I'm just saying that, like, there's a lot of heritage that people can, like, a lot of people who are white probably do have, like, Native American, African American, like ancestry, but not in a good way, right? Like that's not like, you don't get to say that because a long time ago someone did something terrible.
Yeah, 100%.
That you are as a colonizer, yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you probably do have some of that in your blood. That doesn't mean you claim their heritage.
Yeah, you don't claim the heritage. You can't conveniently claim heritage.
But that being said, I don't know his heritage, so.
So, gets funnier, man. So, the producer is like, and I like John Leguizamo. He's one of my favorite actors. And
that was kind of sad, because you know what? I love him, too.
And I'm just like.
I would be sad if I was doing something and then John Leguizamo shit on it in any way, mm-hmm. for a valid reason or whatever, right?
Yep.
Especially if it was valid, I would feel like dog shit. And then I'd be like, probably still watch your movie. Because I would! Like, I would. Like, I can't stop watching The Pest.
Yeah.
That movie is terribly offensive, but I did love it.
Never seen it.
You know, I don't know if you can watch it now. I don't know.
Okay. So
no, don't do it.
Okay. So he did that in a tweet. You know, he said, mm-hmm. he said the stuff he said, and I just thought that the Latino, you know, producer, you know, came out defending the film. First of all, you know, they absolutely made the point that you put, Leguizamo said, you put two Latinos in a movie and people look at it as a Latino movie and not a mainstream movie, which is mm-hmm. sad, which is probably true. But this producer is like, look, we got to have a big time star and we can throw pepper some other Latinos in it, you know, but we need a white star in this movie.
I know, like, the thing is, he says that, right? And it is true and horrifying, but you have to think of, and every single thing
yeah.
that is said out here in these places, uh-huh. all of these people are pieces of shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
That's probably some of the nicest things that they were saying, right? So you're like, they're always like shitting on people and just being horrible and like being definitely bad people.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like scandalized when someone's like, he said that if you put two Latino people in a movie together, it made it a Latino movie. Yeah, I bet that fucking asshole did say that.
Yeah, I'm pretty much. Well, he says that's the way Hollywood looks at it. And then it's like a flop.
Yeah.
You know, which, I mean.
Right. That's what I'm saying is that like, I thought someone told him that at like a.
Oh,
like
no,
when he
no,
went
no,
to go
no.
audition.
No, I think that's his perception, which I find it, I like it, man. I'm like, yeah, shit. So I agree with him 100% on the fact is that, mm-hmm. are y'all still doing this shit for real? Damn, cut it out, you know? So, I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch of fine Latino actors who could have played Fidel Castro and gave it the gravitas and the weight that it needed other than James Franco.
Well, yeah. He said Oscar Isaac in there.
He did. Right.
And I was like already horny. Like he said it and then I was like, oh.
Put a little belly on him and put a cigar in his mouth. So anyway, man, you know, I just thought this. I love this type of shit, you know, because it was just like a bunch of whining back and forth. But I like Leguizamo, I'm with him 100%. Y'all got to stop this shit, man. Y'all have to stop it. And every time recently when this stuff happens, then it's like, we're really not doing that. It's, you don't understand, you know, and it's like, oh no, we understand. Y'all still doing this shit, trying to get away with it. I don't care if you're Latino or not, you know, shoot. Anyway, man, one last thing we would like to talk about. So Tiff, I was perusing the internet, man. I wasn't even looking for a story. And all of a sudden, they showed a picture of on the set with the new Harrison Ford Indiana Jones.
They did.
And when I saw this picture, here, I'm going to put it right on the screen right here.
I can put it on. Everybody take a look.
He looks like an old dude cosplaying as
Indiana Jones. He looks so excited to show up to the old folks' day at Indiana Jones.
Dressed
you are absolutely correct.
Who is this old man cosplaying as Indiana Jones?
He's just a shambling corpse.
Oh, God.
He actually does not look like he doesn't look. This picture, this picture makes him look quite youthful.
Tiff, the clothes look too big.
Comparatively.
The clothes look too big for him. he looked like he put on.
He just looks like he doesn't have any, he has no idea what's going on. They put that on him.
Them clothes
and
look too big.
And they just stuck him out there.
You know, the dude is in his 70s. That coat, when you was a young strapping lad with a big chest, It looked like it's the same coat.
He should, you know what? He should be dressed like his dad was in the...
Yeah, hey, the hat, it looked like he could spin a hat around by just hitting the brim. And go, I mean, dude, I told you to give it up. I sat on this podcast and I said it.
You have said that.
Give it up. It needs to go to somebody else. And, you know, I think he had some snide comment to somebody. I think it was the guy to play Star-Lord, Chris Pratt. When the role is gonna die with him. He will be the only Indiana Jones. Well, you really must think you know studios, Harrison Ford, because one day there'll be another Indiana Jones. Trust me, unless you like had some deal in your will that nobody will ever be able to play it again.
Even then,
dude, I just think, yeah, he looks. You know what? If Indiana Jones was a real person and he came out dressed like that, you would be like, look, dude. Your days of going out there on adventures is over. Sit down before you break a hip. You know, sit down, man. I mean,
yeah. He just looks excited to be there.
They do.
But I wasn't gonna say this. I don't want to be rude, but I was like, are the dentures falling out? Because he's not a very smiley person. I feel typically.
No, he don't smile, but all through his career, he don't smile that much. But when he do, he got a good smile. I mean, I just think it's you should have let it go, man. It's over. It was over when Crystal Skulls happened. You look bad in Crystal Skulls.
That movie is terrible. And I honestly don't think he really even likes doing it. I'm like, you don't seem like you're having a good time, Harrison.
He love Indiana Jones. That's like his shit. He said he would do that until the day he dies, you know? So
I understand that.
The paydays is probably ridiculous. And
maybe that's just the best he can do. Like, you know, I love it when they make old people run in movies, but they try to make it seem like they're actually running.
Yeah. You know, I don't even think he has any kids. He should have had a young Harrison.
I don't think he does have kids.
Yeah, he should have had a young Harrison take over. You know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger's kid is in Hollywood right now, you know, doing his thing. So, you know, oh well. I just thought this, when I saw it, I said, oh no, Tiff.
Yeah, and then when you reminded me of it, I was like, oh yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah. So that's it, y'all. We are making fun of somebody.
Well,
not really making fun of somebody. I said to give it up, man. Give it up a long time ago because this looks ridiculous. You look like you're playing in some, your young man clothes, you know? Shoot.
And your young man clothes. You're playing in your young man clothes.
Right. Oh, shit. So we're going to take a break and we're going to be right back because it's time to have some fun with the game. All right, man, we are back. It's time to have some fun with some games, man. This is our middle section. Our act two, man, this is the time when we like to do what we want to do and mix it up and do some different things. This week we're doing Facts or Patrol, which is nothing but a trivial game, but we always stick to the script and stick to the theme of the week. And this week's theme is a Netflix original. And so that's what our theme for this game is, Netflix originals. So, Tiff, this is my game, so I will give you the wheel. Would you like to be asked or answered?
I want you to ask me first.
Okay, so my first question, ladies and gentlemen. So this is everything pertains to a Netflix original. What is the newest dark fantasy for containing witchcraft released this week for Netflix?
Oh, shit. I have a brain fart.
Oh, good.
Jesus
question.
Christ. No, see, I've got Montego's got multiple choice, and I don't.
I don't have multiple choice this week.
It is Sandman.
Oh, I should have did multiple choice. It is Sandman. Good for you. Good for you. I didn't think you had noticed. Yeah.
I'm giving myself 2 points because if you use any of the ABCs, you only get 1 point.
Yes. Okay. Fine.
That's points. The usual rules, even though I don't get a choice.
2 points. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. So I thought this was supposed to be Netflix classics is what you like. Classics like established as being.
No, I said originals.
Oh, these are all originals.
Okay. There you go.
What Netflix show mm-hmm. won the first Emmy?
Oh, shit. Multiple choice, please.
good
question.
A, Hey, Orange is the New Black. B, Ozark. C, House of Cards. D, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
I am trying to think of what's the oldest. It might be House of Cards. I think it's Orange is the New Black.
It is House of Cards.
Son of a bitch.
And it was the first Emmy given to a streaming service at all. So
wow.
Yeah.
Damn it. I'm pissed.
How many women?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah.
It is. I was getting ready to read all of mine because we usually just one and one.
I haven't had a lot of women tiffle butt. Let me see.
Jesus. All right, go on and ask me a question.
What period piece drug war show stars Diego Luna and Michael Pena?
Narcos.
God damn it. Okay, yes, it's true. Thought that was a hard question.
How many women have played Queen Elizabeth in The Crown?
This was a thing because they went through her life. 3.
4.
I'm going down in flames here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not enjoying this.
I'm not enjoying this. Okay. Now it's my turn.
Okay. Which
Go ahead, sorry.
Which Netflix original film stars Regina King, Jonathan Mazur, and Zazie Beetz?
Is that The Harder They Fall?
Ah, shit! You're killing me.
We did that on this show.
I know we did. But you were not supposed to remember.
You guys, I'm doing really well, honestly. Shit. Montego.
Yes.
What does GLOW stand for?
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Yes, I knew you'd get that one.
God damn it.
There you go. Okay.
Oh, shit.
My last question's really funny.
I'm only on question 4. Okay.
I know.
What single star has the most Netflix original? And for a bonus, how many are there?
Netflix star. Mm-hmm. Adam Sandler.
It is Adam Sandler. That's 1 point.
No, that's 2 points.
That's 1 point. Oh, wait.
Fuck off. Okay, Adam Sandler. How many does he have?
Yep. God damn it. Mm-hmm.
12.
10. So at least you get.
Damn.
God damn, I'm massacred. So go ahead, just to finish it off.
Okay. So here's the question is a quote. Okay, so, but it has an answer.
Okay.
I mean, kind of. It's the end of the quote. Are you ready?
Gotcha. God damn it. Okay.
It's one banana, Michael. How much could it cost?
I have no idea. And God damn it.
Okay, so it's $10. So it's a famous quote from Arrested Development where she says, it's one banana, Michael. How much could it cost? $10. So I was going to give you the options.
Wait a minute. Arrested Development is a Netflix original?
The last season is.
Oh, that's a cheat ass question, right?
It is not. Well, it wouldn't have. Do you want me to ask you another one and see if you can try to win? Because you're not gonna.
Nope. God damn it. That was still a cheat question.
Oh my God. Do you guys see? He finds a way to make everything just terrible. I can't even enjoy my win, which I never get.
I kept off all those fake Netflix originals like Peaky Blinders and stuff like that, you know.
And also. All this fucking shit. I put all of them. Most of them were Netflix originals.
Yeah, well, that was
definitely one. And I gave his ass multiple choice with legit multiple choices.
Okay, so here's my last question.
What a butthole.
What superhero show Tiff was forced to watch that she hated?
Oh. That's your question?
That's the question.
Oh, my God. There's a lot of them. Nope. How am I going
to
guess?
Nope. Listen to a question. I said, what superhero show Tiff was forced to watch that she hated?
Listen to the question.
It is a question. It's a good question. Yep. Once you hear the answer, look, you don't remember. Once you hear the answer, you're going to be like, ah, damn it.
Is that Jupiter?
It is Jupiter City. Yeah, that's a good question.
I win.
You win like a fat rat. I got my ass destroyed.
It's shameful to know that much about Netflix.
I got the hell beat out of me. I got my clock rocked. I got my bell rang. I got damn.
I haven't even seen any of the stuff that we talked about. It's just so much in the culture. Just fuck. Well, if you have Netflix, which I get on there to watch some stuff that they have, but
really. See, I'm a Netflixer casual, super, super casual.
Me too. I haven't watched any of the shit that we talked about.
Yes, you did. You watched Hard to Fall. You watched Jupiter Ascending. You watched
Yeah, but I mean, I watched one episode of that because you asked me to. I watched The Harder They Fall because, I mean, I wanted to watch that, but also we did it for the show. I've never seen The Crown or Ozark or...
Oh, I love Ozark. That's
see, a... now who's in sucking Netflix's dick? It's you.
that's a badass show right there. You know, Ozark's is real good. Anyway, man, so that's the game. We got it done, and we're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back. All right, man, we are back. We're here for Act 3, and we're doing The Gray Man. This is an action thriller through and through. When the CIA's most skilled operative, whose true identity is known to none, accidentally uncovers a dark agency secret, a psychopathic former colleague puts a bounty on his head, setting off a global manhunt by international assassins.
Jesus.
I know, it just went on. Who is this? This is by the Russo brothers, Tiff. So that's pretty interesting there. And it stars whom?
So obviously it stars Ryan Gosling and Chris Evans.
Yes.
Anna de Armas.
Yep.
Jessica Henwick.
Yep.
Oh my God, I can't say this person's name. Regine Page.
Oh yeah.
Danush.
Yep.
Wagner Moura, Julia Butters, Billy Bob Thornton.
Interesting, Billy Bob. I ain't seen him in a long time.
Yeah, so.
And Alfre Woodard. Let's throw her in there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Every time I see Alfre Woodard, I just like her as an actress. I'm always
like. I like her too.
I'm like, oh, shit, that's Alfre Woodard. So, here we go. So, man, before we take another step, it's time for one word! One word, Tiff, what you got?
Enough.
Enough. Meaning?
And what I mean by that is that, like, there's enough stuff here. It's fine. It's nothing special.
Okay. My one word.
It's just enough, you know?
Okay. My one word is action. And I mean action. Yeah. And there's action, and there's action, and there's action. It's like, if you love action, you'll like this goddamn thing.
Yeah, if you want to watch something, and there's nothing, again.
Nothing wrong.
I'm not saying it's particularly bad, but it's, if you want to just watch something that is just, and I say enough, it's like, there's really not, the plot is very much kind of subpar, like, as far as, like, very stereotypical.
Yeah, you know, I thought this was going to be more like a, and I'm not disappointed in it because it did what it wanted to do, but I just think it probably would have been better if it was more Tom Clancy-ish, like a little bit more
really,
heavy spy, you know, a little bit more.
Yeah, it's Jason weird Bourne. In this movie because there's so much good acting in it.
Yeah.
And there's so many good actors just in it.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
And there's nothing wrong with a little bit of a spy thriller. I love that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. This movie tries really hard, but it's aware of itself. It knows that it's an action movie with nothing much else going for it.
Yeah.
But it never does anything with that knowledge. It never subverts the genre or makes an interesting statement or even makes a particularly spectacular movie. I would say the thing about this movie is that, like, if you want to see a bunch of action scenes shot together very quickly, this is a movie for you.
Yeah. Now, my one criticism is that I thought that it's Chris Evans. Chris Evans was, you know, pretty, he set out to be an asshole and he was a complete asshole, but he was such a mustache twirling villain in this thing.
That's what I'm saying. Some of this stuff's weird.
It was like, it's y'all going kind of hard with the my evil scheme.
Well, I think that they're trying to make, okay, like, it's kind of, he wasn't the right kind of psychopath, or like, they didn't build it up. And I mean, I know they were telling us that he was crazy, but his motivation didn't really make a whole lot of sense, because at a certain point, okay, like, I don't want to do things all in a row necessarily. We're going to talk about this again at the end, but like, at the end, when he doesn't just kill the girl, he's supposed to have like no malice, and there was no point of getting that guy back anymore. He wasn't going to make any money. The only, you know what I mean? Like, there was no reason why, even if he wanted to just fight him.
Yeah,
he would have still just killed that kid.
And when everything went to shit, just, I would think, as a criminal mastermind, I would have been like, bug out, everybody out, it's over with, you know, when the helicopter went down, like, we out of here, you know, this shit is bad, you know. So let's hit those spoilers and let's get into it. He's a prisoner. We don't know what he's in jail for. And I don't think we cared. And so when the explanation came
and we don't
out,
care the whole movie.
Yeah.
It is such an awful plot point. I think this plot point actually hurts the movie, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
They try so hard in this movie to make every single person that you root for blameless. Like, yeah, he's in prison.
Yeah.
But it was because of this thing that happens with his dad. But, and yeah, he's killing all these people, but it's because he was in prison and now it's the only way you can be, you know, like, yeah. Why can't he just be
a piece
this
of shit
person?
Doing his job? Yeah. Yeah. When they explain, I didn't think they were going to explain why he was in jail because I didn't care.
Yeah.
And when they did,
who cares?
I was like, well, why y'all doing this shit?
So doesn't matter.
He's recruited.
Because, like, even Billy Bob Thornton, who's basically, if you think about it, the starting point of all this piece of shittery.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a.
And now he's the guy that you want to have. This doesn't really make
ending,
much
right?
sense.
You know how many people
right.
they destroyed. So they got this assassination scene happening in the beginning, and it goes awry only because he wants it to go awry. He didn't want to just have a bunch of collateral damage, and they didn't mind if he had a bunch of collateral damage. And then the guy ends up giving them this, you know, information, and now he's a target. But I liked how one thing I do like is how that he didn't need no convincing when the guy was like, look, I had the information. They sent you to kill me. Now they're going to kill you. You know, and he was like, oh, yeah. Shit. Oh, you're probably right. You know, so then we off on to the races and the chases. So, I mean, that was cool. I liked that setup, and I thought it had a lot of potential to get.
Yeah, I think the setup is, like, enough that you know what I mean? Like, if you aren't going to go for a particularly genre-defying piece of cinema, there's nothing wrong with the plot of this movie. Like,
yeah,
it's very, it's there. So he gets extracted from Bangkok by his friend, who is also being threatened because his daughter's been taken. Right?
Was it his granddaughter? Or was it his daughter?
It was his niece. It was his niece.
Yeah.
That he was raising as a daughter because his brother and sister died.
Which I don't think you actually needed her in the movie.
Again. All of it. Unnecessary.
Yeah.
So he gets picked up by these plane people.
Yeah.
But then they kind of turncoat because he's worth... Well, because he took the guy's niece, now the psycho Chris Evans is trying to make him come back. And so he's got the guy hostage too. And he says, so he orders them to kill him, which that would be the end for me. Like, I'm not going to help you now.
Yeah.
I don't care that I babysat your daughter for 3 hours once. No,
I know. That's what it appeared to be like too. Yeah. Those guys get massacred on that damn plane, and the whole plane scene, you know, the plane is going down, and, you know, I like that scene because
I hated it.
It was like, what do you call that? The parachute, he had a parachute, the guy took the parachute, somebody else took the other parachute, he got killed. You know, I was like, oh, shit. So he ended up jumping out of the plane and landing in his parachute, and I guess he took the guy's parachute, you know, from him, you know.
See, the whole thing, I was like, oh, yeah, we're having a fight in the air.
Yeah.
There's a plane exploding. Nobody's making it down.
Well, I didn't.
You wouldn't be able to know when to eject your chute with all that smoke.
I did not realize this movie was going to be over the top spectacular until that plane scene happened. It was so early in the movie too. I was like, oh, this is one of those. This is like Six Underground or some shit like that, you know, where stuff is just. Mm-hmm.
Boom, I think boom, Six boom, Underground boom. Better.
Oh, yeah. I agree too. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. We get introduced to, who was the one lady? I really liked her. That she was he had to convince her. It was a Danny. He had to convince her to, like, that she kept rescuing him over and over. You know,
Miranda
was it? I thought it was Danny. Okay,
I don't know. Here's the thing. There's like 300 million names in this movie.
Right. So I like the one scene when he says, "You know, you're bruising my ego because you saved me three times. I haven't got a chance to save you once." But they become kind of a duo through the movie. And there's shit going on, Tiff. You know, there's a scene with them driving the cars, you know, on the train in the middle of the city. And there's explosions. And people are dying.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time, like, talking about this movie, actually, because there's so much action scenes in this movie that I'm like, which part was this one happening in?
It was the public transit. And they were running on top. And, you know, he ended up jumping on a car. But that was hard to do, you know. And so... they finally get that, and then they finally go away, and they drive up to the, it was kind of funny, because that car was effed up, and then the very next scene, it only had, like, a cracked glass on the screen, and I was like, oh, that's some bullshit, why y'all do that? That car didn't have to look good driving up. It would have been more funny if it was just mangled and stuff, but, you know, there was, like, crashes and explosions, and the cops was getting all messed up, so the biggest action scene in the whole movie, well, second biggest, because when he got captured, and the guys, the cops had handcuffed him to the park bench, and they had that huge fight, like, you know, and that's what started the train fight, because the train was next, you know. But that was ridiculous, Tiff. I mean, cops was dying left and right, and your boy, the psychopath, Chris Evans, his character, just kept saying, send more guys, send more guys.
Yes, yes. And I'm like, there's just, okay, it was kind of like they had this John Wick element to it, and that's where they were trying to, here's the thing, I felt this was a little bit like they were trying to, here's the thing, there's tons of movies like John Wick, but they were trying to pull the charm of John Wick with, like, these very charming kind of, here's this group, here's this group, here's this group, but they didn't focus enough on, it was just a really weird choice, I felt. But yeah, they're all gonna, it's fucked up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're gonna get caught. You're not sneaky. Neither one of you are sneaky. Even if you are being paid by an underground military government, you're probably gonna go to prison for a little while until they can get you out, because you have made such a big show. Actually, they'll probably just kill you, I would assume.
So I like when this was happening, how the one lady, Susanna, who was in the room with the Chris Evans character, Lloyd, you know, she was like, this is prison! This is prison! I was like, yeah, y'all all going to jail. Y'all love to gunning down cops and all kind of shit, you know. So, you know, basically, you know, from that, the disaster, what I like about it is that they went to the hospital, and, you know, that's where all the victims were being taken. And then that one Dinesh guy comes in, and he's like this secret assassin, and they have that little fight. She chases him. He gives her a gun that's not loaded. I like the scene when she was like, you gave me a gun. He was like, nobody throws a gun that's loaded.
Nobody throws a loaded gun. Yeah.
And so the next thing we know, we pretty much, like, they kill the Alfre Woodard character, you know, because they try to go figure out what was on that disc and stuff, you know.
Yeah, and she's got cancer, right? So she just kind of just takes it.
Yeah, she blew them fuckers up, man, you know.
Boom. So, like, I guess, okay, so I will admit that I was very tired when I watched this movie. Okay. I have to cough. Excuse me.
Got you.
So I saw her put that in, and then the next thing I see is them leaving. So I don't know exactly what was on the disc. Do you understand what was on it?
Yeah, it was so the guy who was it was stuff above the pay grade of the, what's his name? Carmichael. Carmichael was the guy that was actually in charge, but he was like the second in command because we didn't know who the main command person was, you know? And he had been doing black ops off books for himself, like selling kill squads to people and things like that, not because he was ordered to, because he was doing like his own little dirty little, you know, backwater, like king-making things. So they was illegal as hell, and it was all on that debt, on that that microchip. And so he wanted to get it back.
And so you're saying that
all the evidence in the world was on that thing against them.
Was the motivation so that they could be free of the service?
No. They didn't want to go to prison. If that thing would have got out, it showed.
No. I mean, like, okay, I'm being forced to perform this duty by somebody, right? Yeah. And I have this disc that shows that they're doing something highly illegal. Uh-huh. But they're already doing something highly illegal because they've taken you out of prison and are having you do ghost recon work.
It's still sanctioned, though. It's still sanctioned. So it's not illegal. It's still
sanctioned. But why would these people give a shit about that particular bunch of evidence? Look, what would me, as somebody who...
Yeah, because, okay, you this is your job, and you're paid to do this dirty shit, but you are paid to do this dirty shit this specific stuff only, and that's for the greater good of Uncle Sam. It ain't for your pockets to get fat. It ain't for you to be making your own power moves so you can take over some country one day. And that's what they was doing. All they shit had benefited them, not the government. You know, it wasn't about national
security.
Why
do these people who are not really, they're indentured government agents? Yeah, like they're not there under their free will. So why do they care?
Well, maybe they don't
if it's a corrupt agency.
Maybe they don't want to get.
That's my question.
Maybe they don't want to get.
But see, that's the thing. If you say maybe this or maybe that, the movie didn't do a good enough job making me care or understand.
I'm looking at it like this: you got let out of prison to do dark ops for the CIA. You didn't get let out of prison so you can help somebody get rich and act a damn fool. And now if...
Sure, I can see. But I guess my thought would be like maybe they're trying to escape, but it's all just very murky.
I thought it was fine with that.
But also, again, I'm not making like you rich. Said, it's...
Go ahead.
Yeah, like I said, it's just an action movie where the plot is just there to hold up the different scenes where Ryan Gosling punched something.
Yeah, well, I thought the motivation was cool. Like, the government tells me to do something, not that I'm this person. But, you know, I'm doing dark stuff for national security. That's cool. But just to make this clown-ass dude here rich, you know? And then what's going to happen? They'll blame the whole thing on you and your ass is back in jail or execute it, one or the other.
I mean, that's good motivation. I just didn't see it.
No. That's okay.
But again, who cares?
So they got the girl, Tiff, and now it's time for the finale. Now this,
and I thought the little girl did fine, but again, another thing about establishing stuff, I didn't see why he particularly cared so much about this child.
Yeah, well, unless he was babysitting every day, you know.
But again, he didn't want the other kid to get hurt either. I guess maybe he just has a soft spot. I mean, yeah, he's a good guy down deep.
Yeah,
right.
He's a good dude. But the final action sequence paid off for me, man.
You mean when they're actually punching each other?
No, at the castle, because
Like overall,
the character Danny. The shit she was doing, she said, I want all the big stuff. And and they thought it was him, right?
Yeah.
But she's running around blowing every goddamn thing up, man. I mean, she blow, and it's fast. She's just running around, pooka, 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 and shit just blowing up. They ain't know what to do with her. You know, they was running around with their heads cut off, like trying to figure out how do we stop it. And then when they were in the control room and they saw her lit up on, you know, biometrics, and they was like, she's right there. She was like... You know, she blew up the whole room. I was like, you never see that, right? You never see that. Like, this shit is going to come to an end, and they're going to catch her, and then she's going to be the damsel in distress. It never happened. she was on her own the whole time. And so I dug that. And then the fight at the fountain with the two heroes, that was some more dumb shit. I'm like, I got a gun.
Yeah, it's like, why wouldn't you just, you don't care. I have no... pride in this. You're a piece of shit. From one view or the other. Here's the thing, though. There's a lot of tropes in this movie. Uh-huh. Like, it's fine. It's an action movie. But I saw that by the time the hedge maze rolled around, I was like, this movie just doing all the same shit. But at the same time, because I love a hedge maze, I was like,
this is pretty interesting.
I don't think they put it to good enough use because he didn't really like hide her in there or anything like that. They just kind of went to the middle and then he was in the middle. So, but whatever.
Yeah. When he had the gun, so he had a flare gun at this chick, you know.
I didn't know, and I guess I should have known because it's pretty obvious that you could do that much damage with a flare gun.
You could do some damage, but she wouldn't have died. I would have just shot that.
She blew his fingers off.
Yeah, and shot him in the back.
Yeah.
Because he was all burnt up, and I like when he threw him
in
the water.
And then he punched him with his where his fingers, and he was like,
I cry bullshit. I'm like, mm-mm.
Yeah, you would, I don't think.
You're sitting up there, pop, 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 going, no, dude, that hand.
You would be able to do that. You would be
useless.
Like, I think you might pass out.
That
hand
is
it
useless.
Hurts.
It's gone. You're not using it. I'm running for right my now. Life. I'm like, I got no hand, you know, but.
Again, this is the part where I was like, why does he particularly care? I could see him being like a psychopath and being like, okay, I want to prove that I'm the best ever. That's fine. But if that's your only motivation at this point, which would be all that's left because everything else is gone, you wouldn't care about killing the kid.
Well,
I'm not saying.
Go ahead. I'm looking at six. I think you're crazy for fighting this dude.
I do too. But I'm saying from the other perspective, from the Chris Evans perspective.
Yeah.
Sure, fight him. But, like, why wouldn't you just... It's just the motivations were getting a little skewed.
Yeah, Chris Evans should have... Lloyd should have ran, and Six should have shot him. That's it.
I thought that's what was going to happen.
Yeah, because you had that scene with the lady running around blowing up everything. That was a finale to me.
Yeah, sometimes they ruin the finale by putting on the wrong finale.
Yeah, y'all wanted Six to be the hero of the thing, and the... Mm-hmm. Danny was the hero. I was like, yeah, the whole time, like, yeah, shit. Shit, chick rocks. And then, you know, but she couldn't be the ultimate hero. So then they lock up everybody, right? And they got the girl locked up, got him locked up. And the Asian lady, what's her name? Susanna. She's like smug, thinks she's in charge. She didn't work this shit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like they was kind of trying to set this up for a possible sequel the way the thing ended, man. You know, I was...
Yeah.
you know, like, what he breaks out and breaks the girl out, you know, they do another action scene.
As soon as he finished fighting that guy, it should have shown him picking the girl up or taking your hand and walking off, and that should have been the end. Because I don't need to have any resolution for any of these people.
Yeah, so the Billy Bob character is dead, and Danny is still working in the thing, but she threatens old boy, like, look, you know, you make one move. When you make your false move, that's your ass. He's like...
Well, just sometimes I just fucking feel like movies don't let you assume anymore. It's like, I would have probably just assumed that if he walked away with the girl at the end, he would have gone on to fix it either in a real sequel that they actually do, or in the imagination of, like, that you have in your shared, like, consciousness. You know what I mean? You mean, like, you finish that stuff if there's no movie. Like, when people walk off in the sunset, did they die?
Yeah.
Did they live happily ever after? That's up to you. But movies don't want you to do that anymore. They want to be like, and then after the big fight scene, they did some paperwork.
Yeah. Well,
they had some, you know, it's like, fuck.
Let me say this. The Russos need to be careful. They do action really great. But this is borderline right here, what you're doing, because this movie would have been better if it was more on the Jason Bourne tip, with a little bit more spy action-y and a little bit better writing. The cast was phenomenal. Their acting was phenomenal.
Yes.
But you, when you get into this goofy writing like this with one action sequence just for the sake of having action, then you start getting to the point that you're like, oh, shit, these guys, you know, all they're going to do is be like a John Woo movie, a bunch of explosions and call it a day. And you don't want that reputation. They don't have that reputation right now. But if you continue to do shit like this, you're going to get that reputation. It's nice seeing these actors do this action stuff, but this is no movie that you're going to remember after you turn off the switch.
I barely remembered it, and I watched it yesterday.
See, that's my point. It's Vans on Patrol time. So that's it, Tiff. We can't do the goddamn thing. We got it done, man. Next week, we're doing Prey. Y'all know I'm loving that shit. This Predator is my favorite shit.
I'm excited,
man,
about it, too.
Woo! So anyway, man, I'm the host of Vans on Patrol. My name is Montego. With me is my adorable co-host, Miss Tifflebot. Say goodbye to the people, Tiff.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
Indeed. And until next week, man, we will be
on patrol.